Our top story tonight, Prime Minister Modi has underscored the need to focus on testing, genome sequencing and vaccination at a review meeting for COVID as the number of fresh infections threaten to spiral out of control, driven by the highly infectious Omicron strain. Vaccination for adolescents must be conducted in mission mode, and the focus on COVID-appropriate behavior in the coming days is going to be critical, the Prime Minister said. Now, that meeting came on a day the national capital recorded 22,751 COVID cases and 17 deaths. But here's the good news. 87.34% of COVID beds are currently vacant in dedicated hospitals. And there seem to be very few cases which require oxygen support and ventilation.
As India's positivity rate climbs over 10%, a high-level video conference chaired by the Prime Minister on the situation. Among other things, the Prime Minister said, ensure adequate health infrastructure at the district level, accelerate vaccines for adolescents, and we need continuous scientific research in testing and vaccinations. Health Ministry sources say Union Health Minister Mansukh Mandavia will interact with the state health ministers of Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Goa, Daman and Diu and Dadra and Nagar Haveli tomorrow. In Delhi, where the positivity rates are at an alarming 23.5%, there was a weekend curfew. The city reported over 22,000 cases, the highest single-day rise since May last year. The capital also reported 17 deaths over the last 24 hours. The chief minister, however, said that a complete lockdown can be avoided if people wear masks.
Panic karne ki koi zarurat nahi hai, ghabrane ki koi zarurat nahi hai, darne ki koi zarurat nahi hai, lekin zimmedari ke sath kaam lene ki zarurat hai, jo main bar bar bol raha hu ki mask pehenna sabse zaruri hai. Mask pehenna sabse zaruri hai. कई लोग मेरे से प्रश्न पूछ रहे हैं लॉकडाउन लगेगा हम लॉकडाउन नहीं लगाना चाहते लॉकडाउन नहीं लगेगा अगर आप मास्क पहनोगे तो कोशिश हमारी है कि कम से कम रिस्ट्रिक्शंस हम लोग लगाएं ताकि लोगों के रोजी रोटी चलती रहे लोगों के रोजगार चलते रहे
ओमिक्रॉन ज्यादा इंफेक्टियस है तो आप अपना जो मास्क है बहुत प्रॉपर मास्क जो टाइट फिटिंग है और इसको भी अगर आप डबली सिक्योर कर दें ट्रिपल लेयर मास्क यूज करें फैशनेबल मास्क को हटा दें At least for 1 month.
Even as they start getting booster shots, more doctors and healthcare workers in the capital are now testing positive for COVID-19. In the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, around 300 doctors have tested positive. In Safdarjung Hospital, 80 resident doctors have tested positive. In RML, around 90 healthcare workers have been infected. In LNJB Hospital, at least 30 healthcare workers have been infected. At Chacha Nehru Children's Hospital, 40 healthcare workers have been infected. And at Gangaram Hospital, at least 15 healthcare workers have tested positive. As doctors come under increasing pressure with COVID cases rising, there was some relief with the decision that NEET PG counselling will start from Wednesday, allowing 45,000 junior doctors to join the workforce in a few weeks. Bureau Report, NDTV.
Mumbai on Sunday reported 19,474 cases, marginally lower than the previous 24-hour number. The city also reported 7 COVID-related deaths. But of the total 19,474 cases, almost 82% of cases are asymptomatic. At the same time, some restrictions were eased as these curbs have already started impacting livelihoods.
Passing through the narrow lanes of Dharavi, one finds Masoom Ali Sheikh's shoe shop, usually crowded with loyal customers. Now it's deserted.
मेरा कारखाना अंदर है तो अंदर ग्राहक कस्टमर आने में डरता है वो सोचता अंदर जाएंगे कुछ मुझे भी ना हो जाए इसके लिए मेरा कारोबार पे 75% फर्क पड़ गया 25% चल रहा मेरा धंधा
Sheikh's employee Mohammed Afaq is now considering going back to his village.
45 रुपीस मिलता है एक पीस का उसी के ऊपर होता है पहले हफ्ते का 3,000 कमा लेते थे अभी उसका आधा हो गया 1,500-1,600 रुपए हफ्ते हो जाता है सर डर तो रहेगा ही सर जैसे बीमारी बढ़ेगी धंधा पानी बंद हो जाएगा तो जाने के लिए तो सोचने पड़ेगा ना जब काम ही नहीं रहेगा तो यहाँ रह के कुछ मतलब नहीं तो अपने गांव ही चले जाएंगे
Dharavi, which was hit badly in the first wave, is now seeing a faster rate of increase in cases. There were 107 cases in Dharavi on Thursday, 150 on Friday and 147 on Saturday. Cases are increasing faster than they did in the earlier two waves. In the first wave, the highest number of cases in Dharavi was 94. In the second wave, it was 99. And this time, the figure has reached 150 so far. It's a widespread fear among labourers living in Dharavi. They are still haunted by memories of long journeys on foot the last time.
हम लोग तो ये सोचते हैं कि लॉकडाउन ना लगे कुछ पाबंदी हो जाएगा तो कोई बात नहीं है लेकिन लॉकडाउन बंदी ना लगे काम धंधा या कोई भी चीज बंदी ना हो घर वाले ये सोचते हैं कि कहीं बंदी हो जाएगा लॉकडाउन जैसे पहले जैसे तो भाई काम धंधा हर चीज बंद हो जाएगा तो परेशानी हो जाएगा वहां का खाएंगे क्या पैसा क्या कमाएंगे और क्या भेजेंगे पैसा घर कैसे चलेगा यही लेकर के ये सब सोच रहे हैं कि मान लो बंदी हो जाएगा तो आना ही पड़ेगा चले आओ
इट इज क्लियर दैट द केसेस हैव इंक्रीज्ड इन द थर्ड वेव एंड द वर्कर्स आर स्केयर्ड In such a situation, there is a need that the administration helps overcome their fears so that the workers can work freely. With Sohit Mishra in Mumbai, Bureau Report, NDTV.
All right, let's bring in our experts at this point. Shashank Joshi, member of the COVID-19 Task Force in Maharashtra, is with us. Dr. Hemant Deshmukh, Emeritus Professor and former Dean of KEM Hospital, is with us. Dr. Anjan Trekha, Chairman of the Clinical Managerial Group at the COVID Center of the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, is joining us from Delhi. And Dr. Suresh Kumar, MD of LNGP Hospital, who is also a member of the Delhi COVID Task Force, is with us as well. Thank you all very much indeed for joining us. Let me begin with Shashank Joshi. You know, the question really at this point is that India, of course, is at almost 1.6 lakh daily cases. But have hospitalizations really gone up concomitantly? At the moment, we seem to be seeing a manageable figure when it comes to hospitalizations. Therefore, is this, you know, bearing out the popular belief that the Omicron variant is not going to be as dangerous? And, you know, is it time to perhaps you know, reorient how we are seeing this third wave of the pandemic?
You are very right that clearly we are seeing three trends. First is that this Omicron variant is explosive, highly contagious, and is a different beast, spreads very fast. But the hospitalizations are not impacted, predominantly asymptomatic or mild disease. Most people who are in the hospital, and hospitalizations have gone up in Mumbai, 20%. But clearly they are with COVID and not due to COVID. There's a difference between the two. A lot of people get into the hospital, get screened for COVID and get diagnosed with COVID. And most of them is for some other illness. For example, an accident, a heart attack, a stroke. While people due to COVID, due to Omicron-like variant going to the hospital is little rare, but will come up in the next 2 weeks. The other challenge is we still have a sprinkle of Delta around. There has not been a total replacement. We still see people with S gene. And we still see people with Delta whose lives need to be saved. We want current trend in COVID is save every life, have a zero COVID death, and try to have minimize the severe disease. One thing is very clear that our primary care or general practitioners are telling us that the tsunami-like explosion they saw 2 weeks back, 1 week back, in the last 2 or 3 days, and it's too premature to comment, probably there's a little dip which is happening. And that's probably because people are now predominantly at home, and they are masking appropriately. And we definitely need complete cooperation on the COVID appropriate behavior front and double masking. Clearly, the healthcare infrastructure has a different challenge, like healthcare workers and frontline workers testing positive. So that's the real challenge we are facing. But of course, our isolation guidelines have been rewired. But it's an asymptomatic disease to a mild disease. And it's predominantly symptomatic treatment. It's only the people who have underlying other diseases, like chronic diseases or immunocompromised states, clearly they are the ones who need attention and who need medical care. And that is what we are clearly seeing. We are not seeing anything unusual. In that. And Delta is still very much there in a small percentage. And definitely, therefore, the genome and the clinico-genomic correlation is clearly necessary and needed.
Okay. Shashank Joshi, thank you for laying it all out for us so neatly. You raised several points over there, and we'll try and tease some of those out in greater detail now going forward. Dr. Deshmukh, would you agree that you know, thanks to the restrictions that are already in place, you know, is it premature to say that we're already seeing perhaps a slight dip in numbers, or, you know, are we still going to see a surge in the days ahead? And with precautions and a certain amount of restrictions in place, you know, are we on course perhaps to see a better, a more optimistic situation in some days from now?
Ankita, I think this is quite early to say that the cases are on the decreasing side. Mm. As you know, that the infections are very transmissible. This virus has low pathogenicity, so the number of admissions are going to be down. But the weekend, which has caused the decrease in the numbers, is probably because a lot of patients and people are testing themselves at home,
right,
and realizing that it is negative test, they are staying home. It's good that if it is negative, it can still be confirmed by RT-PCR. So a negative test does not mean that you are COVID negative, but a positive test will definitely tell you that this is a positive COVID case. Now, exactly 1 year back, we had 18,000 patients of COVID, and the same figure right now is 93,000. So this is almost 700% increase in this 14-day exponential rise in the number of cases year on year. Now, most of these corona cases that we see, that is the Omicron cases we see, are predominantly being treated on a outpatient department because right. The symptoms are very less severe. Hmm. They are just running nose, headache, maybe just fatigue, sneeze and sore throat. They are not coming with ARDS or something like pneumonia, which we used to see a few weeks back or few months back. And the best part is that people are remaining indoors, and that is the only way that you can stop the transmission or at least reduce the transmission of the virus within a locality.
Okay. So you're still, Dr. Deshmukh, recommending that there has to be restrictions on movement, whether this is in the form of a weekend curfew or other sort of specific restrictions in places where cases are spinning out of control. Dr. Anjan Trekha, would you believe that, you know, this is the weekend curfew we're seeing in Delhi can now make a difference? After all, we heard the Delhi Chief Minister today say that, you know, it's unlikely there are going to be any further restrictions at this point. He just wants people to mask up and follow COVID precautions. But this could well be it. He also talked about how there are lots of hospital beds that are still vacant, and in that sense, there's not anything to worry about or panic about. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is there's nothing to get panicky about. There's nothing to get worried about. We are not seeing something which we saw in the second wave. It's a different strain, and the symptomology is also different, as already explained. We don't see a lot of chest pneumonias or ARDS, and mm-hmm. The Chief Minister has rightly said that there would be no lockdown provided everybody puts a mask. Now it's for me and you to see that everybody puts a mask and remains indoor unless necessary. And we don't have, and I repeat, we don't have any super spreader events, which right. happens so much in India. It could be religious, it could be political, it could be anything for that matter. We have to see those super spreader events are not allowed by the government.
Well, I think, you know, it's important that you bring that up because we've been reporting on exactly such a super spreader event in Karnataka today, a Congress Padyatra, which saw thousands gathering. This at a time when the Election Commission has already banned such events in the five states that are going to the polls. Karnataka, of course, is not one of them, so therefore there is no official ban. But there are curbs because of the pandemic, and those were completely flouted. But Dr. Suresh Kumar, you know, where do you see things going from here in terms of restrictions? You know, because obviously it's a question of sort of livelihoods as well. And we are already seeing livelihoods being impacted by certain restrictions that are already in place. So it's obviously going to be a very careful, you know, fine tightrope walk for those who are making policy on such restrictions.
Definitely, we know that in coming days, the number is going to be increased very rapidly. We have seen that positivity rate is around 23% and more than 20,000 cases per day. And we have seen that around 12% of the hospital beds are already occupied. And we have seen that large number of cases with the associated diseases, dialysis patients, liver patients, coronary artery disease patients, and even the post-op patient in the major hospital, they are infected and they are transferred for COVID care. So definitely it's a big challenge. At the same time, we have seen that a large number of doctors, nurses, healthcare workers are also infected. So that is another challenge. And we have seen that the restriction, we can, this restriction definitely has, but needs more curb because we see that these figures are alarming. And in the coming days, more and more person would be requiring more beds.
So you think the number of hospital beds that are going to be required is going to go up? Shashank Joshi, would you believe that, you know, do you think that it's the, in this particular wave, we're actually seeing more healthcare workers, frontline healthcare workers getting impacted? You know, the figures we saw in Delhi were quite alarming today. 500 doctors already ill, including in the large sort of COVID, dedicated COVID hospitals.
It is clearly there. That is because Omicron has something called immune escape, which means it escapes even if you had COVID in the past or even if you are double vaccinated. But the disease is predominantly asymptomatic or mild, even in the healthcare worker space. So that is a very reassuring thing. I would agree with Dr. Trika clearly that, you know, we are not seeing a severe disease. Of course, we need to be vigilant and we need to, you know, just do our saturations appropriately. But most people are asymptomatic without comorbidities. Right. Only the comorbidities and the vulnerable group which need attention. So I agree that there has been a large, you know, pickup of healthcare as well as frontline both. We are ignoring also there's a lot of frontline beyond healthcare, which is also, you know, many offices are fully positive. But most people who have had COVID in the past and most of the healthcare force is double vaccinated. They'll go for a precautionary dose soon, but they are getting infected. But most of them, again, are asymptomatic, mild. So there is no major panic reaction needed. But we need to be vigilant. So they need to be under medical supervision. And I think that is a very reassuring sign. Only the number should not overwhelm us in the hospital, oxygen, and the ventilator space. And we need to try to aim at a zero COVID mortality so that we have, because every human life matters.
Dr. Trika, you know, we believe 300 healthcare workers at the All India Institute of Medical Sciences are currently COVID positive. What kind of an impact does that have on your day-to-day functioning when you have that many healthcare workers sort of isolating, even if they don't have very severe symptoms?
Well, the number is slightly high, which you quote, but yes, there are about 300 healthcare workers. They are not all doctors who are affected. And the moment they test positive, they are told to stay home. And if they cannot stay home or isolate, or if they are junior doctors in hostel, we tend to admit them both at the trauma center or at our judges center. What we have done is we have curtailed our OPD clinics. Specialty clinics have been stopped. The routine theaters have been stopped. The routine admissions have been curtailed, and we are just concentrating on three basic problems of the citizens. One is trauma, other is malignancy, and the third is emergency medicine. So all surgeries which could be postponed, let's say a simple hernia or a simple gallbladder surgery or a simple cataract, which can be postponed for about 2 to 3 or 4 weeks without any problems, they are being postponed. So this has helped us a lot because now we have a workforce which can take care of the patients if they come in. Our beds too are also there. They are not all filled up. There is no crisis of oxygen, and I want to put it across this time because what happened in the second wave, hopefully it will not happen this time, but we have enough of those kind of resources with us. So by curtailing other non-essential or non-emergency things, we have been able to, you know, take care of the shortcoming healthcare workers, which includes nurses, sanitary managers, operation theater technicians, residents, and even faculty members.
Dr. Deshmukh, Mumbai's KEM hospital has also faced a similar situation. Would you say that, you know, similar measures are taking place there as well to deal with this shortage of staff?
Yeah, Ankita, we are adopting a similar way of working elsewhere. But the healthcare workers along with the frontline workers are getting affected even at KEM hospital. So what we have done is, unlike the first and the second wave, the bedside attention of the doctors is not needed right now. Hmm. What we are doing is, most of the patients are freely moving about in the hospital and the wards, and the ventilator care, the oxygen requirement is much less. So the task force which is needed to attend to each and every critical patient is unlike the first and the second wave. So we are conserving the healthcare workers and the frontline workers. Right. A second batch would always come in hand for a subsequent time later.
All right. Dr. Suresh Kumar, the fact that the precaution dose rollout starts from tomorrow, how crucial do you think that is going to be in the battle against COVID, whether it's for, you know, frontline workers, healthcare workers, or for that matter, for senior citizens who have comorbidities? This is what is being called a precaution dose for them. And of course, it's mandatory that there's going to be a 9-month gap between the second and the third dose. So not everyone is going to be able to get it straight away. But once they do, do you think that is going to help significantly?
This is going to be a big relief for the frontline worker, for the elderly population, and those who have the associated diseases. We hope that the majority of these patients are getting medical attention because they have the disease, and secondly, they are infected. So if these groups are given the third dose, definitely we are bound to have the better protection, and the number of hospitalization and number of admissions is definitely come down if we have the very robust vaccination program in this age group. And this is a very welcome step. We are waiting for a long time, and most of the doctors, healthcare workers are demanding this third dose. So this is already, many countries have already started, and now we soon get majority of our frontline worker doctors vaccinated. And this is a big boost to the moral and all the...
Fair enough. Quick last word from Shashank Joshi. You know, the government has been very clear in saying that this is not a booster dose or a booster dose program. It's a precaution dose. It's sort of meant to safeguard only the ones who are on the front line or the ones who are perhaps the most vulnerable. So where do you see us going from here? Is there eventually going to be a booster dose program? And over the next few weeks, as we are likely to approach a peak, a third wave peak, you know, quick thoughts on what you believe is the way ahead.
Let me take your second question first. I think Mumbai should peak around 15th of January or maybe a little earlier. Delhi probably is following and has already overtaken Mumbai, but the peak might be around 20th. India should peak around first week of this thing. But in 2 months, we should be out of this wave if we follow the South African pattern. And the percentage of hospitalization in South Africa were 3%, in UK were 6%, in India, even if they are 2 to 3%, that would be a welcome step. As far as the precautionary dose is concerned, they are generating a lot of Indian data because despite of multiple vaccinations in multiple countries, the waves have gone unabated. Whether it is Israel, Europe, UK, US, you see, even if there is that so-called booster program. And therefore, I think a lot of science is being generated within India. India has its own Make in India vaccines. We just saw the Covaxin data rollout of the third dose. So, you know, these are all early generation vaccines. And we should wait for some more better, public domain Indian science, which will be available in public domain in a month or two. But I think it's a welcome step, and eventually everybody will need an additional dose.
Yes. All right. We leave it at that. Thank you all for those reassuring words at this point. We're seeing a huge surge in cases, but perhaps there is a silver lining in all of this, given hospitalizations are still low, serious cases are still low. Well, we can only hope that the next few days bear out that optimism. Thanks for watching this edition of Left, Right & Center.